When we look at the death of Christ, for over 2,000 years, we've had the debate, who really killed Jesus? Was it the Romans who put him on that cross and nailed those nails in his hand? Or was it the Jews who demanded that he be crucified? I think this passage says a lot toward that. As we go through it, you see a struggle between the Jewish leaders and Pontius Pilate, who is the magistrate in that area of the country of Israel. When you look at these things, you recognize that there's a lot of ins and outs. So try to follow as we go through the scriptures, because I want you to understand what's going on here. Now, you notice, first of all, that you will remember, as we've gone through most of the Gospel of John, we've been told that the Jewish leaders wanted to get rid of Jesus. They tried several times to stone him. They tried to confound him with questions. They did everything they could because they were jealous of his following and because they did not want a Messiah. They did not want their positions threatened by what a Messiah might do in the countryside. And so as we start out our first time together is with Jesus and the Jewish leaders. If you look there in chapter 18, verses 19 through 23, we're told that Jesus was brought to Annas. And in those scriptures, read them with me real quick. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teachings. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I always taught in synagogues or in the temple, where all Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby struck him in the face. "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" he demanded. "If I said something wrong," Jesus replied, "testify as to what's wrong. But if I speak the truth, why did you strike me?" Then Anna sent him, still bound, to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now, the reason that it talks about Annas as high priest and Caiaphas is that Annas was the sort of the godfather of the high priests. The Roman rulers had decided that they would choose high priests that would not be on the lifetime so that they could appoint them to some extent. Remember, originally the high priests were to be there for life. Annas, however, was sort of the godfather, and Caiaphas was his son-in-law. And so Caiaphas had been set up as the high priest for that year, but Annas is still that controlling force among the priests, among the leaders of Israel. And so he is the first to see him. Basically, he's trying to extract a confession to make Jesus say something that would cause them to convict him of being worthy of death. As you go back to Matthew, we're going to be going back to some of the other some of the other Gospels. In Matthew chapter 26, we're told that he was sent to Caiaphas. As you look at Matthew 26, you recognize that Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, remember the Sanhedrin is the ruling body of the Israelites, have Jesus before them, and they will condemn him because of blasphemy. Look at Matthew 26, 57. Matthew 26, 57. He says there in Matthew 26, 57, "Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest, he entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. Remember, this is where Peter denies Christ, and we're not going to cover that today. Verse 59, the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. Now, do not forget that. Their one goal was to kill Jesus. That was their goal that day. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to get rid of him so that he could not disrupt their way of doing things. In verse 60, but they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Now notice that phrase. Over and over in these so-called trials of Jesus, the same thing comes up. There was nothing to convict him. Zero to convict him on. But they did it anyway. Go a little bit further. Finally, two came forward and declared, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. Now, if you know what Jesus said, you know that's a lie. They twisted his words. Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Now, for those who say Jesus never claimed to be God, they never read this verse. Look at the next thing. This is what Jesus says. Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, he has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He is worthy of death, they answered. Excuse me. Then the next verse. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, Christ who hit you. Let me get this. Now, as you look at that, is there any doubt as to what they really wanted? Remember last week we talked about the fact that they wanted to get rid of Jesus, but they didn't want it done in public because thousands of believers were coming in for the Passover. Thousands of Jews were coming in, and they didn't want a riot. So they're trying to keep this as quiet as possible. That's why they took him at night, and they're trying to get this trial done before everybody gets moving around and actually kill him. And go back to chapter 18 of John, and this is where Pilate comes into the picture. As they had their so-called trials in the middle of the night, by the way, which was against their own law, they come to Pilate very early in the morning. Some say it could have been as early as 3 o'clock in the morning and wake him up. Now, there was no love lost between Pilate and the Jews. He despised the Jews. He was the governor of what they called Judea at that time. And he had done many things against the Jews to really rile them up. And he was kind of on the edge with Rome because Rome said, don't you dare cause them to cause an uprising because you will lose your job if you don't. And so he's very careful with them, but he despises them. In chapter 18, starting verse 28, they take Jesus and they bring them to him because they want him to kill him because they don't have the right to that under Roman law. Look at verse 28. The Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. Now, this is the height of hypocrisy. These men are killing
a man knowing he's innocent. And yet they won't go into the house of a Gentile, so they won't be unclean for the Passover. Now, before we get too hard on them, we have our own high practices, don't we? We have our own things that we do, and yet when we appear in the house of God, we our halo's up there and shiny, and our hands look right, you know. In the car, we might have been almost fist fighting with the kids, but when we get in church, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Okay. Now listen, they come to the palace. Look at verse 20. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" Now I believe that Pilate knew something about his arrest because they had had Roman soldiers go with him to arrest him. I don't think he was blind to all of what was going on. He couldn't have been. Verse 30. This really shows what they wanted. If he were not a criminal, they replied, we would not have handed him over to you. Now, you go to a judge as a prosecutor and you say, we want this man condemned. And the judge says, what are the charges? Well, just take our word for it. He's a bad guy. You think that would fly in our courts? No, it wouldn't. And Pilate wasn't stupid. He knew the animosity, I think, between them and Jesus. And you notice he says, what's going on here? They say, oh, he's a bad guy. We want you to condemn him. Look at verse 31. Pilate said, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. Now, they were allowed to do that to a certain extent. They allowed him some ability to run their own business as Jews. But look at verse 31, the last part. But we have no right to execute anyone, the Jews objected. Aha! We have their motive. This happened so that the words that Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Now, what they had tried several times was to stone him. That was the Jewish execution. That's what they did to Stephen later in the book of Acts. They stoned people. They didn't crucify them. And so here they're having to ask Rome to kill him because they didn't have the right to do that. And remember, Jesus had said several times that he would be lifted up to die on that cross. Psalm 22 talks about, it's a great prophecy that you need to read it sometime about the way Christ died. It spoke of crucifixion there in that psalm. So they request him to sentence him to death. Just take our word for it, he's a bad guy. And so Pilate doesn't love the Jews that much. He knows that they're trying to put some over on him, and so he's going to check it out. As we go on to verses 33 to 38, Pilate takes Jesus aside. He does this several times during this sequence. The Jews say something to him as he's there. He tries to placate them, and they say something. So he brings Jesus back into the palace to talk to him quietly. The Jews are out there mumbling around, making their own. And so he takes Jesus in. Notice this conversation between Jesus and Pilate. Look with me at verse 33. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus responds, is that your idea, or did others talk to you about me? Now, what was Jesus doing? Was he being smart aleck? What did he mean by that? I think what Jesus was saying, is this your idea, or are you allowing somebody else to use you? He's talking about the Jews out there. Pilate says, am I a Jew? Notice in that next phrase, am I a Jew? It was your people that your chief priest and your chief priest who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?
And what he's saying, look, I'm not a Jew that they should be influencing me, okay? I'm not doing this because of them. You must have done something or they wouldn't have brought you here. He's not stupid. Something's happening here. And in verse 37, Jesus says this, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." So what's he saying to him? He's saying, look, you're right. I am a king. But my mission is to testify of the truth of my Heavenly Father. See, he was talking about revelation, not revolution. So he's saying to him, yes, I am a king, but I'm not going against Rome. That's not my mission. And then Pilate answers in a very sarcastic way, what is truth? Now, I think Pilate was probably saying, hey, I've heard it all. I've heard it all. I've heard all the excuses. I've heard all the lies as a judge. I've heard it all. Nobody's putting anything over on me. It's sort of like what a policeman will tell you about the reasons people give for speeding. You know? Some weird reasons. Well, officer, you know, my watch was fast, so I had to keep up, you know, all those silly things. And so what he's saying then, when he says, what is truth? He's saying, look, I've heard it all. And so Pilate tries to release Jesus. In the last part of 38 there, he went out to the Jews, and he said this, something he repeated several times, I find no basis for a charge against him. This guy's not guilty of anything that I know of. But it's as if an inspiration comes to him all of a sudden. In verse 39, he says, you know what? I want to keep these guys happy. I don't want to put an innocent man to death. I've got an idea. Look at verse 39. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the King of the Jews? He's thinking, okay, these guys are going to give me trouble. I don't want to get the whole place up in a big riot. If I release this guy, it's sort of saying, yeah, he's guilty, but it's not too bad. And so they might be happy with it. But how do they respond? I think this had been set up because they knew what he was going to say. They shouted back, no, not him. Give us Barabbas. I think that the Jewish leaders had set it all up. Okay, there is a custom to release a prisoner. He might try to release Jesus. We don't want him released. We want him to die. Let's say Barabbas when he asks about that. And so that's what they do. Give us Barabbas. And John tells us that Barabbas had taken part in the rebellion. I think it's Luke that says that he had been involved in killing people in that rebellion as a murderer. So they'd rather have a murderer than the sinless Son of God released. Talks again about their motive, doesn't it? Talks very strongly about their motive. Now at this point, Pilate's in a bind. Because he knows that Rome is going to say, look, you need to keep the peace. When these folks have their feasts and all their holy days, you get along with them, you don't start things up. you keep him happy. But he is still saying that Jesus is not guilty. And he still doesn't like those guys out there that are trying to use him to do their own thing. So as you go into chapter 19, I think that's a rather unfortunate break there. It's not a new subject, it's the same thing. It says in verse 1, then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. Now let that sink in for a minute. In spite of his innocence, he beat this man to a pulp. He allowed him to be whipped to the point where flogging took all of the skin off the back of an individual. And as you go to the other Gospels, it tells us that the soldiers, when they did that, they beat him with their fists. They abused him. They brought out, when he brings him out later, a man who was almost unrecognizable, as Isaiah says it. Great guy, right? Pilate was a wonderful fellow. No, he wasn't. He was an evil man. He was willing for his own use to beat a man to a pulp so that he could please these people. And so what's his thinking? Well, maybe if I beat him up good and he looks pitiful, they'll feel sorry for him. And so as he brings him out, look, verse 2 says, the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put a purple robe on him. That was the color of a king. And verse 3, and went up to him again and again, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they struck him in the face. How can you call yourself just and do that? How? And so in verse 5, he presents him. Verse 4, let's go over that first. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews, Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find what? No basis for a charge against him. How do you beat up a man like that who's innocent? And so as he presents in verse 5, when Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe, Pilate said to them, Here's the man. Here's the man. Is this what you wanted? Look at him. Can't you have pity on him? Imagine Jesus bleeding, hurting, bruised, humiliated, standing before that crowd, and those religious leaders who were supposed to lead the people of God in the things of God. They weren't happy with that. They weren't happy with that. Maybe he thought they would have pity on him. Here's the man. Look at the next verse. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, Let him go! Right? Are you reading your Bible? What does he say? What does it say? Crucify! Crucify! Imagine that crowd who saw Jesus do all the miracles he did, who saw him resurrect people from the dead, who heard him teach. Now say, crucify him, kill him, kill him. Last part of verse 6. But Pilate, he's still trying to get out of killing Jesus. But Pilate answered, you take him and crucify him. As for me, what? I find no basis for a charge against him. He repeats the judgment. He's innocent. You take him. And then they bring up a whole new issue. Because they are squeezing Pilate to do what they want. These evil men know how to work him. 7. The Jews insisted, we have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God. Verse 8, it says, when Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. Now, why would he be afraid? I think he's thinking, even though he's a pagan, am I fixing to kill a deity here? He was no doubt a very superstitious man. He was afraid. And then he brings Jesus back in. Verse 9. Where do you come from? He asked Jesus. Where are you from? But Jesus didn't give him any answer. Verse 10. Do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said. Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? He's trying to put fear into Jesus. I can let you go or I can crucify you. Answer my questions. And Jesus answered, you have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. Now he's saying, number one, the all-powerful God chose this for me. In the garden, he said, not my will, but yours be done, Father. In the last phrase there, therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of greater sin. I think he's talking about those leaders out there. They're using you as an instrument to do what they want. 12. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. He's trying, not because he's a good man and just, but because he doesn't want Rome to kick him down out of his power because these Jews are upset. As it goes on, he says, the Jews kept shouting, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. So this is the new issue. They couldn't get it on, well, just trust us. He disobeyed our law. So they say, he's against Rome, and if you don't kill him, Caesar's going to get you. These guys know how to twist until they get what they want. And at that, he brought Jesus out, verse 13, and sat on the judge's seat. And he says, here's your king. Here's your king, Jews. And they said, take him away. Take him away. Crucify him. shall I crucify your king? He said, we have no king but Caesar. The chief priest answered. Wow. You hear what they're saying? They hated Rome. But they hated Jesus more than Rome. And they wanted him gone. We're told in Matthew 27 how they respond. Look at Matthew 27, 25. This really shows the depth of their hate for Jesus. Matthew 27, 25. The people answer, let this, his blood be on us and on our children. Let his blood be on us and on our children. We absolve you of the guilt for killing him. We'll take the blame. These wicked men would rather be aligned with Rome than with their Messiah. Who killed Jesus? The Jews demanded his death. Rome crucified him. We'll talk about that later. But he died for all of us. Romans 5:8. He died for the ungodly. Have you trusted Christ for salvation? He died for you. We caused his death. If there had been no sin in the world, he would not have had to die. We sinned. All of mankind sinned. Scripture says we're all guilty. And if we had been there, we probably would have said with them, crucify him. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior yet? Or are you ignoring him? You're a sinner like the rest of us. That sin won't let you get to heaven. Christ died in your place. He wants to offer that free gift of eternal life. Trust him today. Bow with me for a minute.